This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, what a beautiful Monday morning it is here, and we've got Steve-O and we've got Rich. I tell you what, fellas, I am so pumped up to be in the studio today with a big goofy-ass grin on my face.
Is that because of the baseball game last night?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's the baseball game. Yeah, with me and Morgan Fairchild, we're sitting in the living room watching the baseball game.
So, I think last night was the 18th time. Is that right, Rich? Did I get that right? 18th time that there's been a Major League Baseball game, an NFL game, NBA game, and an NHL game all on the same calendar date. I think that's only happened 18 times in history.
And that's a relevant stat, I mean, in the world of stats.
It is. The reason I say that, I think, is because last week was like the 17th time. So I assume this is number 18.
As long as it didn't happen during the week and we missed it somehow,
yeah,
some way.
And that would have to be like a Thursday night or something like that. What a great day in sports, really, for fans, because you get to watch the London early game. And that led you right up to almost the noon kickoff. You could get your last-minute bets in and some of your FanDuel and DraftKings stuff going. And then you got your noon and your 3 o'clock game, then right into Sunday night football, yeah. And then the World Series, which lasted for, I think, was it 17 or 18 hours?
19
hours.
And then right after that, you got Australian racing.
you could have watched something like
that. Yeah, I didn't.
But no, so for my family, yesterday. You were up all day.
For 24. Me, it was because we had a Halloween party, right? So we were out late, and then I had my buddies and I met for breakfast, so we could look at a little some gambling stuff and one of those little for fun things,
right. Entertainment purposes only.
So we had breakfast right at IHOP, and. And then we're trying to catch up on watch our tablets or whatever for what's going into the game. And it got to be around 1 o'clock. And I'm just, my wife's cooking. We got a big Halloween party tonight, which is Monday night thing.
Yeah.
So we got a big, everybody's coming over for that. And I'm thinking it's 1 o'clock. I got to take like an hour snooze. I just need like a power nap because I knew it was going to be a long night. Totally missed it. Missed the nap opportunity. Next thing you know, Cowboys are kicking off.
You're running on fumes.
Last night was so hard. I mean, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm trying to just stay, I won't say trying to stay awake because it was so exciting. The game was awesome. The baseball game.
Well, how about our Cowboys, man? These people can
care. Is that what podcast it is?
This is what it's all about here.
That is Cowboys podcast.
Yeah.
Steve, we're in the wrong room here.
Well, I tell you what, boys, I was really proud of us. Cowboys out there, we took care of business. And I got to ask you guys, though, did you feel that our defense stepped it up, or was it a Washington defense or Washington offensive line that was just all depleted? Because our defensive line looked like the old doomsday defense, man. They had pressure on him left and right.
At times they did, and at other times they didn't. But, I mean, when they needed to, they did it.
Well, I thought most of the time they were in his face, man. I mean, right now, if I'm that quarterback, I'm having, like, nightmares to where I'm jumping up and down.
We gave up a few big plays, but we stood up when we needed to do so. That secondary, again, is suspect. A little worried about what we got going on back there.
We'll get to that because you're definitely right about that.
Yeah. But as we all know, and we'll get to this later too, the turning point in the game was that blocked field goal, and then Skandrick's, that was pretty an amazing run. He ran almost all the way to the right, then back across the field. And was he running out of go-go juice there, Steve-O, or what happened there?
Well, here's the deal. Might be my number one complaint in football with this.
Not looking behind you.
I mean, are you shitting me? You got four guys running down.
Shitting me at 118.
182. You're going to cut that too?
No, I won't
come
cut
on.
That. I won't cut that. Go.
Quit being a jackwagon. I mean, if I wanted to not cuss, right, I would go on the radio.
All right, go.
It's a podcast.
I know, but we still got a lot of kids that listen to the show.
We don't have any kids that we don't listen. Nobody listens to the show. Share it, folks.
Share
Hashtag
folks.
No Jono. So anyway, you got three guys or four guys running alongside of him.
Yep.
You guys can clearly see in front of you, and I believe he was running down the left
sideline. Yep.
Left sideline. You can see to the right of you. How are you not? Are you that dumb where you can't just turn around and block the two people coming up from behind? Those two people, by the way, run 4.1 40s. And they're running him down, and he's already run 130 yards,
yeah.
Right? He's running out of go-go juice, like you said, Rich. Turn around and block somebody. That's an easy touchdown.
Well, the holder, Way, I think was his name, he was like a bowling ball. He went in there and bowled three or four of them over.
And got a penalty on that.
He got a half a yard penalty?
Right.
Personal foul for a half a yard.
He just goes, I'm going to throw myself right here. I'm going to throw him.
It was. Yeah,
he went down. He bowled down like 300-pound linemen.
Three of them. So, yeah, his 150-pound holder takes out 900 pounds collectively.
This is where I go down.
So the things that you can count on almost every year, you can count on something like that, somebody getting caught from behind when he's got four blockers.
I know.
Somewhere in the league, you're going to see somebody drop the ball before they go across for a touchdown when they're all alone and nobody's around. That happens all the time.
Well, I think the most severe one was this year, the Bears.
Oh.
I don't know anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Come on.
Just run through the end zone. And there's a couple other things that you see constantly all the time that you just kind of scratch your head like, didn't somebody train, like, put up a highlight of just the follies like that and say, hey, you don't want to end up on this video.
This is the reel you don't
want to
be on.
I just had in my head somewhere, and it escapes me. But at the end of the day, 33-19, bud. And I think that the I would lean it more on they had three starters of their offensive line sitting out.
Yeah, but even when they were scoring those plays that the Redskins with the long throws and all that, I mean, you did see pressure. The pressure was on the quarterback. I mean, this play that I'm looking at was, I mean, the guy was right on top of him. Tosses the damn thing up. And
no, absolutely.
Our DBs are young.
I didn't think it was, considering the offensive line of the Redskins, which, I mean,
Three starters.
Or out. I thought we should have done a little better.
And I
job.
Think two more went out plan. During the game.
Yeah.
Well, they lost Jordan Reed during the game, right?
And they lost another offensive tackle, I think.
I like the way our defensive line is playing. And the fact of the matter is, you can only play against the guys that line up against you. They don't have control of who's injured, who's out there, who's doing what.
No, you're
okay?
right. You're right.
So,
that's a good point.
According to who they had to line up against, I thought
they did
what they had to do. I would have loved to see some more sacks, obviously. Yeah. I think they ended up with four or five.
I thought they were all low.
They ended up with a couple of turnovers, which was good, including pick six there towards the end. So
how about Jalen Smith there? I mean, the way he jumped up like that, almost had an interception.
It was Jalen Smith, and then the three plays before that
Taco.
Was Taco. Yeah, our two big acquisitions to start the year off that we expected big things out of. Almost the identical play across the middle, left
crazy.
Their feet, went horizontal, had the ball in their hand, and their defensive linemen for a reason.
Yes.
You know, they struggled with the old having that ball stick in those meat hooks of theirs. So
hanging on to the pigskin.
Yep.
Well, we'll get to the plays here, individual plays. But
let's talk some more about some.
We will. And I just wanted to bring up it's a scary stat if you're looking at the team that's playing you, the Cowboys. They got to look at this. And since week four. 30 points, 31 points, 40 points, 33 points. This is kind of like a team like Oklahoma playing in the Big 12 or something like that. I mean, these guys are putting up some
points.
Major points.
Yeah, absolutely. The funny thing is, I was talking about having breakfast at IHOP, walks in, and we're in the middle of the St. Louis metro market here. So I mean, I got Cowboy Nation all over, but three people walk in wearing, you know, family Cowboys jersey decked out and everything like that.
Awesome.
It was awesome. So the guy walks in and he overhears us, you know, kind of talking, and I said something to him about, yeah, let's go Cowboys. And so we're trying to – the two bets that I did win were the Cowboys over and the Cowboys cover in three, right? So we start talking, and we were talking about the over, which was 51, and I said, well, here's the deal. The Cowboys – every time they've lost, is, I mean, the other team's put up like 35 points, and every time they've won, they've, you know, scored. So if you kind of do the math, you don't need too many points out of the losing team. And the guy goes, oh, he goes, let me tell you what, since they've had Lee on the field, you know, they haven't given up, or they only gave up 35 points when Lee was off the field or something like that. When he was on there, they haven't given up that many. I said, oh, except for the 42-point game against the Broncos. And he goes, oh, yeah, you're right.
Wait a minute. Didn't he get injured in that one, too? Didn't he? I think halfway through, he was out of there.
He could have been. I can't remember. I can't remember Saturday right now, bud.
Right. I got it. You and your IHOP experience. But, Rich, I mean, in all honesty, with Lee back there, he commands that respect from the other players, and the players all evolve around him. I think that goes a long way.
Well, and that's one of the biggest subject of conversation when Jono wasn't around. No Jono, hashtag no Jono. Now, we talked about the field general, right? Lee being out there, and he is the absolute field general being on there, on the field. He's the quarterback of the defense. And we saw that goes far more than making tackles. It's how you lead the team. You know, he knows every single position on that defense and can lead every single one. You put somebody else in Lee's spot, they're just trying to worry about covering their own position because they don't have the leadership ability that Lee has. He commands that defense, and he leads by example, by what he does, but he also leads by smacking one guy on the head that needs it and pat another guy on the butt who needs it. But he demands and commands the respect being out there by everything he does, and it just shows. It absolutely shows.
Didn't that Ash guy remind you of our big guy? That his name's Ash.
I sent a text. What the Ash was that? that was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he reminded me of our old Cowboys in the 90s. Yep. What was his name? The one that slipped on the snow and gave
Leon
the
Leon Lett.
Yeah, he looks like a big Leon Lett. And mind you, folks, Leon Lett was a hell of a good player, too.
Good player.
I mean, forget that snow incident and all that and the Buffalo Bill game. But he definitely was imposing
God. His will. Absolutely.
Yeah, he made him know he was there.
The sad thing about Leon Lett is, as Steve and I were talking before the show, you don't want to be on that highlight reel. You don't want to be remembered for the bloopers or the follies. And
well, he will be.
Unfortunately, he will be. But he was one heck of a great player. But, yeah, had that game against Miami when it snowed in Texas. And
Buffalo Bill won
that.
Blocked
the field goal. Well, that was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's dancing across the line. And
one cost us, though. The Miami game cost us.
We lost. Because we blocked the field goal, and here he comes sliding in doing a snow angel.
And you see all the linebackers, everyone, like, everyone get the hell away from it.
Well, Emmett Smith was yelling, Peter, which means, you know, stay clear, and shoot.
Hey, by the way, Emmett's my friend.
I know he is.
I got to meet him. I still haven't washed my hand.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. I love you.
That's awkward.
That is a little weird, I got to admit, but it was Emmett Smith. Emmett Smith's my guy, and how many Cowboys back then? I could say from the 70s, I would probably say it was Randy White. Yep. That went on to the mid-80s. Then I was just like, wow, I don't really have a Cowboy right now. Maybe it's Danny White. I don't know. There's nothing there. And then after that, a whole list of Cowboys just took out. You know, I mean, at one point it was Ken Norton.
Right.
I loved Ken Norton. Then it was Deion Sanders. Emmitt Smith, when he broke his shoulder with that
against the Giants.
And he's like
one arm.
One arm, and you're like, dude.
Well, and they kept feeding him, too. Have you ever watched the highlights of that play?
I'm like, Jimmy, how cruel are you? You still want to give him the ball.
I think he had 55 touches, 56 touches.
Yeah.
30-something in the second half with a dislocated shoulder playing on that hard. That was an AstroTurf. I don't know what they had in New York. It was frozen.
It was frozen.
Concrete,
you remember
I guess.
That. Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I can't remember Saturday, by the way. I forget all that.
Too much chocolate on the brain. Too much thinking about IHOP's chocolate. What is those? Chocolate chip pancakes, right?
Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity, bud.
But something to worry about, though. I think you mentioned it 5-10 minutes ago, and that's our DBs. I'm not convinced this Brown. This Brown reminds me of Carr, because he's not getting slightly beat. He's getting beat by 5-10 yards on these plays. And this one play, I think it was to Crowder. I'm looking at this. I'm going, man, this guy is wide open. He catches this ball. Like, he's got a 5-10 yard cushion right there, and I don't know when's this going to stop with giving him that much room. I mean, the
5 or 10 yard cushion.
That looks like it was a busted coverage there, right?
But you're seeing it constantly, right. and the guy that you're seeing around is either number 25 or number 30 all the time. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
No, I get it. My frustration was, That's nothing out of the ordinary. We've seen that pretty much all year long. And I just hope that is just a lack of inexperience.
Well, how long are we going to say that, though, Steve?
Well, I mean, there were times where they didn't get their hands on guys. They were in bump and run coverage, and they didn't get their hands on guys, and they blew by them. My frustration, there was a third, and I think it was 20 or something like that. And all those guys stood back there trying to not to give up the first down, and there's 5 minutes left in the game, and Washington's down by 2 scores. You got to understand that they're going to go for it on fourth down, yes, and they got it. They converted because they got 15 yards on the third down play.
Yep.
So, you know, they gotta get into this game and understand what's happening, where guys are trying to go, because we talked about it with, you know, offensive coordinators last week, Jono, was these guys are artists, you know, the way they do things. And defensively, you got to be an artist too. You got to set up plays from the beginning of the game to the end of the game and know how you're going to play certain situations.
Steve, would you say we're seeing a decline in the defensive quarterback position overall throughout the league? I mean, I would almost have to say yes. I mean, granted, it was never – Deion, speaking of Deion Sanders, he's the one that really brought prime time to that position and got them kind of noticed on the map. I mean, the receivers always had the advantage, especially with all the rules of pass interference, illegal contact. But I think it's gotten to the point where it's – I would have to say it's declining even more.
Well, maybe. But maybe the way you just brought it up in the last part of that sentence right there, I don't think they allow the DBs to get away with anything anymore. Back then, I mean, it got tighter and tighter as years went by. But right now, I mean, they nitpick on everything.
As we all know, when whoever lines up to go out on a pass pattern, one of the officials, they pick them up. So their whole job is watching that player to see if the defensive back or any member in the secondary grabs, clinches, holds, whatever the case may be. And, yeah, rules and changed throughout the years, but I don't know that was always that way in the 80s and early 90s, because you're seeing pass interference just every single time the ball goes up, you're almost thinking it's going to be a pass interference. And I don't know if the receivers are that much better and more talented, or, like you said, the poor DBs who, well, most receivers. Steve, what's a prototypical wide receiver? 6'4", 6'3"?
Yeah, probably 6'2", 6'3".
And then your prototypical cornerback?
5'11", yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
and the receiver obviously knows what the play is, and the
no question. I agree with you. I agree with you, but now that on that aspect too, now we have a nickel defense that comes in, a dime, and all. I mean, they have specialties that come in.
Sure.
So you're not to give them all that praise that this is happening, that's happening, but you got a lot of time to recover and then get back on the field and be fresh too, and these guys aren't doing the job like they should be.
Well, we saw a lot yesterday. We're sitting in that zone, and a zone, obviously you cover a much bigger area. You don't have to run your butt off as much. However, good offenses are going to find holes in that zone. Good receivers are going to find holes in the pattern there.
Well, let's go over some stats here from the Redskin game, and the first downs practically even,
yep.
18-16, and I didn't know that really because it looked like we were dominating. Total yards practically even on that one, 307-285. I think I'm going to scroll down here a little bit, and I'm going to look at where can I find the penalties. Well, I thought we had so many stupid penalties.
We did.
We had 89 yards in penalties.
So many stupid penalties. And I'm telling you that Collins has got to get his crap together.
Steve, was that five or six holding penalties we had?
I believe it was five.
Well, from
what's your name?
Smith.
Had three.
Smith on one side, Collins on the other. Yep. They're both holding left and right. And Witten just snags a jersey right in front of the ref whenever what's his name had a he had about a 20-30 yard
25-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, he was going to be inside the 10-yard line, wasn't he?
No, he made it in. Yeah,
he made it in.
Yeah, and that was a questionable call there because Witten still had his hands inside. I don't know.
Oh, the hell he did. He
I think that was a
jersey to the very
speaking
end.
Of Witten, I mean. They isolated him. We all know what a stud he is. But some of that blocking, that just gets overlooked a lot because what are we focusing on right now is the one holding call he had. But I'll tell you what, he looked good. He always looks good, but looked good blocking.
Well, the thing that sticks out there, Jono, is I think that Washington, you know, came back with the time of possession.
Yeah,
That's what I was wanting to see. Which I thought we'd be a little bit better in that category. I thought we started off pretty hot. We controlled the ball. And they made a decent comeback, but that's what Kirk Cousins does. Kirk Cousins he's that Matthew Stafford type, you know.
Play from behind.
They play from behind almost all the time. They never get out to a fast start. So one of those guys that all of a sudden towards the end of the game, you got to watch out. You know, you get into the fourth quarter, there's no lead safe with that guy. He's going to come after it, and usually. More often than not, it seems like he's making more plays than he's not making.
All right, let's break it down here with the defense, starting off with the defense. The defensive line, Rich, what do you give it on a A through F rating?
Well, considering who we were playing against, you know, I think if they would have had a stronger offensive line, we wouldn't have fared as well. So I'm going to have to give them a C.
See, what the hell you want them to do?
I want more pressure on the quarterback.
You want them to kill? All right, he gave a C. That's a real. That's like a East German gymnast judge over here.
That was because I'm going with an A.
I totally agree with you. Go ahead.
I think that defense. I mean, overall, the defense. I mean, if anybody that has them on fantasy knows that they did fairly well.
Right.
But all in all, they got after it. They didn't allow their Fat Rob or the other guy to get really anything going rushing wise. Thompson
was excellent.
Well, he was more in the catching game, you know, in the receiving game than running. So I thought we held him in check from that standpoint. I get it, Rich, that they didn't have their best out there, but we're going to catch him in Dallas in a couple weeks, and I'm sure they'll be healthy.
But does
by
it
then.
Really matter it though? Doesn't. Because who we played, like Steve mentioned, like 10 minutes ago, who they played is what they had to do, and they did what they did. And I mean, it was productive. The sacks. Where is the damn?
We had
sacks
four
on
sacks for 27 yards.
Okay, and so much pressure.
Do they not give a sack on that? There was a snap that like went rolled on the ground. And Cousins had to pick it up and couldn't do anything. I swore they didn't give us a sack on that.
I don't think they did.
Maybe it was a running play or something like that. That
in any case, I agree with you. I think our defensive line, I'd say it was an A effort. And now I'm going to go this way. Let's go with our linebacker and our DBs combined.
Oh, we can't combine them.
Yeah, because I think our linebacker play was fine. I think that.
Okay.
I'd give that a B plus.
B plus. On the linebackers.
On the linebackers, and I would go. I'd probably go with a C on the defensive backs for sure.
DBC and B plus and an A. So we're looking at a B plus for all around.
All around defensive B. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, the linebackers, I would have to say B+, without a doubt. They look good. Jalen Smith looked good. Sean Lee did what he does. As far as the secondary, well, Standrick got an A+ in my book. I mean, not only with the block field goal return, but he was everywhere. He did a heck of a job. He was
Standrick
flying.
Had a good game.
Yeah, he did. He was flying. He had a sack. I mean, he was all over the place, and we had a safety blitz a few times, so I was proud of him. So he is going to raise the secondary.
Right.
But as far as D-backs, C-, I guess almost Yeah, C minus. Since I gave the defensive line a C, could have been a C plus. I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more.
Sure, sure. I understand.
Sure, sure.
All right. So C plus for C. I'm gonna definitely say it was a C minus effort out of my DBs. I'm not seeing that tight catch or anything. Like Skandrick was really on the ball, and I haven't really much given him any props the entire year so far.
You've been pretty tight on props with him.
Yeah, and I really think that he stepped it up. He was in their face. He was telling the, you know, I like a DB like the old Charlie Waters, the Cliff the safeties, Harrises, yeah. And the Ronnie Lotts, these type of guys. I love how they
John
get
Lynch,
in their face, you know.
Safeties, yeah,
and just and Skandrick was like that. I mean, he was intimidating.
I'm not sure you heard the interview after the game with Skandrick, but he had said, "Hey, this one's for Jono," because he'd been.
Did he say that?
He did. This one's for Jono.
Well, I'm sure he didn't call me Jono because
this one's for Jono.
Yeah, this one's for that a-hole in that Cowboys
so
podcast.
So will you please get off my back?
Yeah.
I stepped it up. I had a sack. I played well.
Yeah.
I would have had a touchdown if I got a block at the 5-yard line.
Yeah. I'm definitely high on his play, but overall I think our DBs, I don't know when this maturity, and I don't know how long we give them that pass too, because we start getting into the tighter schedule to where we have to win. I can't be that forgiving anymore. Come on. Well, when do you start picking this crap up?
And here's the thing, and Steve brought it up earlier, that we had initially shut the run game down, so Cousins was going to throw the ball. So we've got to know that. And we were given some soft cushions, some easy
first
downs.
They were soft, Rich. I couldn't believe that.
A third and 20-something, and you know they're going to go for it on fourth down. We get 12, 15 yards on third down, and then they convert on the other.
So right.
You know they're throwing the ball. So right. That's once again the D-line. You got to pin those ears back and get to the quarterback. But come on, secondary. Step it up here. You don't have to worry about the run here. They're going to throw the ball.
And it's not like they can say, well, our defensive line's got to put pressure, because the defensive line was on that QB, passing or not. I mean, they were on that QB all day, all night. So, you know, I think, what was it, like 3.5 seconds, 2.5 seconds had?
He wasn't
guard a guy for 2.5 seconds.
He wasn't comfortable back there, but you're right. The defensive backs have got to feed off of. They should have known that coming into the game, that, hey, if you play straight up, play a little bump and run, that he's not going to be able to. I guess that's almost contrary, too, because if somebody gets behind you, he just throws up a prayer.
Yep.
You know, maybe you're burnt. So maybe their game plan was, hey,
keep everything in front.
Yeah, we're going to play a little conservative because I think our defensive line is going to be able to get to him, and let's just bend, don't break.
That's playing scared. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not playing to make a.
That's not playing to win. It's playing not to lose.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Rich.
You brought up Matthew Stafford earlier. If you watched the game last night, and I know some of our texts back and forth is, we can't leave teams in a game here. We can't settle for three. We got to get in the end zone and get touchdowns. Well, look what Detroit last night. Six trips inside the red zone, and they had field goals every time. Well,
they're just a lousy team.
Well, Stafford threw for 500 and something yards, but never got in the end zone.
Right.
And that's against our arch nemesis, the Steelers. So obviously, I was rooting for Detroit there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can't be doing that. Because they're in the NFC. We're going to be fighting for wild card.
Yeah, I hate the Steelers.
I do too. Trust me, I do too. But anything in the NFC, I want them to lose.
Well, it's just like when you know, Stafford throws for 500 yards and Dak only threw for, you know, a little over 150.
50, is that what he had? Yeah.
God,
like 168.
Was that a boring play or what, man? I mean, he was doing what he had to do, but it was boring, boring.
Who's been back the last two games? And that's been the turn of the tide, so to speak. Zeke. He's been running like a man possessed again, giving the ball.
39 rushing attempts, so it does make a difference.
Well, it does make a difference to me when I got Dak and I got a Witten and I got a number 88 back there as my fantasy team, and all he wants to do is hand off to Zeke. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'd like to see a little run there or a little pass to Witten or something.
Well,
we had a couple of them.
Yeah, had a couple. What do you think of Dez going around with a two up? I mean, I've only been targeted two times. Do you think obviously he wants the ball. Every playmaker wants the ball. But do you think that can become detrimental to the team, or do they think, oh, that's just Dez being Dez?
Well, I hope it's not going to be detrimental, because we curse the Cowboys every time they go in there and they go three and out because they passed it.
Yeah.
As opposed to what was, I mean, they're getting 5.5 yards
per
of rushing
run.
Attempt.
All right.
I mean, let's stay with what's working.
Yep.
The problem is,
until they stop it.
Well, until you get in the red zone, they stopped it every time.
Well, yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, we ended up with 6 field goal attempts, 5 made, and we'll get to our little Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent.
Here in a little bit, because I, you know, after the first one, it was a little, whoa, what's going on? then he came through. But you can't keep getting into the red zone. And I don't care if you're the Lions, the Tigers, the Bears,
oh my,
or the Cowboys. You get in the red zone, you better start converting 7, not 3. And, I mean, that's a recipe for keeping a team around.
Yep.
This game should have been way out of hand, way earlier than what it was, and it's because we get down there and install, and I don't know if it's – maybe you blame a little bit on the weather, okay?
There was a typhoon, for love of God.
Both teams are playing in it, though. I don't know.
But we didn't
they
need to come up with something a little bit
ship.
Better
we
for didn't. For Dez getting a back shoulder.
Yeah,
for Witten.
Use what he has.
I mean, I see all these teams around the league, and that's, I mean, they throw that back shoulder fade, and it's virtually unstoppable.
We talked about it earlier. What's the pro tip? How tall is Dez Bryant? 6'4", at least, and strong as
he's 6'2", I think. But we'll look that up.
We'll
get on the computer box and look that up here.
We'll get that, and you guys keep talking.
Well, anyway,
here.
I mean, he's strong as can be, so he's going to out-muscle any defensive back. And some poor defensive back, once again, even though, you know, he comes out, you know it's going to be a fade or a back shoulder, you may know what the play is, but you still have to stop it. And that's darn near impossible. Dez Bryant, 6'2", 220. All right. So I was giving him a couple.
So he's 4 inches taller than me and same weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like you.
He's only eight. I don't have time. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So anyway, no, but we've got to find a way to get in the end zone and reference the NFL. You keep taking field goals instead of getting in the end zone.
What the hell is wrong with you people today? I just told you we got 30, 31, 40, 33. We're scoring a lot. I bet we are on the top chart on scoring NFL.
John, hold on. That last touchdown was a pick six. So you take that away.
It doesn't matter. That's still a score.
Obviously the final score is what matters. But we left the Redskins in the game, and they got that late touchdown, which made it interesting.
So what plays are you going to call when you get in a red zone in order to get this to punch it in? Because I'm telling you, Zeke's running 5.5 yards per attempt, but he gets in there, all of a sudden it's a 2-yard game.
The field shortens, obviously. So the D-backs and everybody else, they get to pinch in a little bit. So
right.
You're not going to have that, the 8 men in the box or whatever the case may be. What I thought was they kind of faked it a few times, that lead option, that quarterback option, and they only ran it, I think only ran it once, I saw. And they set it up. Well, set that up earlier in the game and run something like that in the red zone. Spread those things out. You know, maybe on first down, you throw that fade. Boom. Keep them honest. That spreads those D-backs out. The linebackers have to, you know, be aware of that. They have to be true to that. And then you run one up the gut.
Right. And that's a frustrating thing. And we need to come up with something. Maybe it is the spread formation. And they went to a lot of that, you know, where they had an empty backfield.
Sure. But they've got,
maybe we need to do something like that. But we have got to get in the end zone. We had something similar early on in the season where I think it was against the Giants first game where we took 3 shots,
yep.
All 3 balls at Dez Bryant, and then we're out and we're kicking a field goal
from
22 yard.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly, because we can't get it in.
Well, and I guess there's so many different things, but Rodney's not here today. But what does he keep saying? And I think we all would agree. We've got to stretch that defense. You know, throw one deep, whatever. What happens? Who knows?
Totally for that. I'm totally for
stretch
that.
Stretch that defense.
But here,
and then,
the weather played
that.
A role, though, man. I really think the weather had a lot to do with what they were doing. They were playing like old high school, college
football.
Football where they were just smashing it. That was the very first play of when we had the ball and we fumbled, and we're like, well, what's going on here? This isn't like Zeke.
You just changed gears there in the middle of everything. That's why it's bad to watch these highlights while
I freaking love the highlights.
I know. Rich, I had to reprimand Rich on that.
I got in trouble.
He got in trouble because he'll sit here and watch the highlights while we're talking and be like, oh, hey, did you see? Here comes the one-handed catch.
Oh, look at this play by Terrence Williams. There it is.
Yeah, and you're like, nobody can see that. So
I'm painting a picture for our listeners there. You guys are talking. They've already, after 7 seconds, they forgot what you said. And look at Zeke.
I was saying, though, we're running the ball effectively. I don't think yesterday was the day where you decide to throw deep or anything like that. We're making it happen on the ground, and that's where we kept it.
My point is, you get in the red zone. How are you going to convert touchdowns instead of settling for field goals? Give me your gravedigger expert analysis here. How do we do that?
Yeah, we're going to turn these highlights off. I'll keep interrupting. My OCD, ADD.
There's no highlights on, Rich. It's your brain. How many goddamn times I got to tell you that?
I'm painting the picture for you.
Yeah. I definitely think that if something's working in the red zone, and I'm starting to see Zeke with that last year's attitude to where each surge is bringing on, like, another 2-3 yards, 4 yards. I mean, he's not going beyond – backwards is what I'm saying.
No, I get it, but
that works in your favor when you're in the red zone.
I almost want to, and I'm going to go a little off topic here to come back to it. Okay, we had a 4th and 1 at our own, at roughly midfield. Early in the game, and
that
was a long one,
like Pat Summerall would say.
Right,
it's a long one.
So we had that early in the game and converted. I can't really recall in the last 2 years more than a couple of times where we've been 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1 and have not converted with this line, okay? So do we have to send a message to these guys that our goal line starts when we get in the red zone and we're going to try to get 3 and 4 yards a carry right there? Put your big asses in there. Put your heavy package in there, and let's blow them up. And let them drop everybody
jumbo
in there.
Package.
And then, hey, you know what you got? You got Witten and Hannah in there. You got Dez hanging out all by himself, which you know he's going to be double teamed. Got to be double teamed. And we're just going to put the fullback in there, and we're going to run it down their throat.
Oh, they wouldn't double team there.
They would have to.
Not on the inside.
Not on the goal line.
Not on the goal. It'd be something like that, what we're seeing right there. It's going to be single coverage. And I just think that right there you got some big bulls and cows right there that you're pushing.
And, John, you know, call it the jumbo package, right? You put all your big bulls in, your double tight end set, and you just blow the other team off the ball and drive them in the end zone. But something, go back to Emmitt Smith. What do they always say about Emmitt Smith? He had a nose for the goal line, right?
Yep.
He had a way to find it. And for some reason, we are having more trouble than I can ever remember inside the red zone. But I don't know, after watching the game last night with the Lions, 6 times in the red zone, not one touchdown. So I don't know if the defenses are tightening up, if they're doing a better job on the bend but don't break, watching the game films. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
the field being shortened.
When you get down in the red zone,
you've got to get touchdowns.
It all comes down to how bad do you want it?
No, you're
okay. Well, because look at Steelers. The Steelers defense. The Steelers defense wanted to keep them out of the end zone.
Yes, they did,
and they were blowing them up. I mean, stuff that was working for the other 80 yards of the field was not even coming close.
Yeah, it's not like there's a wall.
Wow, that's
exactly
a good point.
So, you know, it was just about how bad do you want it when you get down there. And that's the same thing. We're going to have to tell the offensive lineman, hey.
How bad do you want it?
How bad do you want it? I get when you get on the 1 yard line, we're not getting stopped. But we got to have that mentality of, hey, we know Zeke's going to get 3 and a cloud of dust. Let's just, you know, get our ass in gear and blow somebody up. Because chances are that once he makes it through that initial contact, He's gonna coast in for the other 19 yards.
He's got the moves, yeah.
He's got them. So we have got to blow them up, and we've got to get converting these things.
That's a great point, Steve. It's almost like, are you hungry enough?
Yeah.
The example in the wild there, the lion's chasing the gazelle because he wants to eat. The gazelle is
preferring to chase a wildebeest, please.
Okay. Wildebeest?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Man, how
the lion's chasing the wildebeest, whatever. Anyway, he's chasing because he wants something. Thank you very little. He's chasing because he wants something to eat. The wildebeest is running for his life. Think about the defense.
This is one of those trains from San Francisco and Buffalo.
And they left the same station.
Yeah.
What?
No, I, okay,
no I'm talking
ahead,
about desperation
ahead.
Mode.
You it's lost
in,
me.
One's playing to eat, you know, which is great. They'd love to eat. The other's playing for their life. So you back the defense
we just
up.
We lost our other three listeners.
No, I'm getting rich. To a point here.
Did they put barbecue sauce on
them? Land the plane. Land the plane.
Land the plane. So the defense is backed up. They're fighting for their life, and we're just hoping, if we get a touchdown, great. If we don't, we can always kick the field goal. So we don't have that nose for I want it more than the defense does, because we're like, even if we don't get in, we still got an assured 3 points. The defense says, no, we're going to hold you to three, and that's a win for us.
Well, let's
nobody's connecting the dots on that.
Wow. No, we're just trying to move on now.
Oh
move
my
on.
God!
Let's just move on here. Well, please don't repeat it again.
Can we talk about the pick six?
No, I do want to. You know, I do want to go back to. I like the read option play. I think
we lost our last.
Dak has a. He's able to do well with that play, and we're seeing some 5, 6, 7 yard gains out of it.
It's
and I
productive.
Think that really keeps the defense honest. From that aspect,
right,
and that's. But the one I wanted to go to is your guy that you mentioned a couple weeks ago, this Switzer kid.
Yeah,
and I know you're down on him, and so I started watching that a little bit more.
I still am after I seen something stupid he did last night, and Dez walked up to him and goes, "What the hell are you doing? What you're downing? You're kneeing inside the 10, outside the 10 yard line? What the hell's the matter with you? You don't do that."
Right.
Kid, so, we brought you on, kid, so you run the fear factor we thought was out of your system. Something's in your system, and I don't like it.
Yeah, he hasn't shown me much. I'm a little down on him right now. I watched him try to field some of these punts yesterday, and a couple of them got away from him. You know, whether it was the rain in his eyes, maybe it was windy. I don't, you know, try to play that I'm a great center fielder like that and would run them down. Dude, but
if you,
this is
if,
what the guy does for a multi-million dollar
exactly.
living. Put up, I don't know, open up a fire hydrant, spray it up in the air, and go out there and catch footballs. I don't know. But there were a couple where that ball got up there,
like
and
fun.
He looked completely lost.
Oh, yeah.
You know, around the ball.
I thought he was going good, and then I seen that kickoff. Where he took a knee and Dez just looked. Did you guys see Dez in the sideline? He was like,
"Well, that was the
as he's walking outside, as he's walking back on the field." Dez looked at him like, "What the hell are you doing, man?
Well,
what are
after
you doing?"
Two punt goof ups. You know, one that went inside 10 yard line, and we're like, "What the heck's he doing? Catch the freaking football!" So,
right.
There were a few goofs. He did have a catch yesterday.
Yeah, he had a
he
catch.
Did. And it was a big catch.
It was a first down play.
It was a big catch.
I said it was a second catch of the
That's when Dez is like,
career.
Give me the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, Dez is upset about that.
Yeah. So, I definitely think that he's still in my doghouse. And it's only getting worse if you're kneeing the ball on the 10-yard line.
I don't know that
I've
ever seen that before.
I don't think none of the Cowboys have even.
Well, even who was announcing the game, they'd said, and he takes a knee.
Well, we'll get to the announcers because I was pissed at Aikman yesterday.
Oh,
I
mean, he gets to my nerves.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and I think he realizes when he goes over the top because later in the game he started backtracking and started pumping up the Cowboys.
I seen that, too.
He knew he went way over.
I seen that, too.
He knew he's going to be getting called from Jono.
Dude,
called
I mean,
out.
Come on. Honest to God, how many times you got to rip on our boys?
And yeah, that was real frustrating to listen to that.
I guess the way you want to really piss him off is you ever see him call him a homer, because bullshit, I'm not a homer. I do everything in my power not to be a homer.
Well, he does do that. I mean, he wasn't given any props there for most of the game.
Well,
so.
Somebody must have sent him a text saying, "Hey, he's up on our boys there," because the second half was completely different.
Yeah.
Well,
onto our offense with
Switzer.
Yeah.
We had Beasley go out yesterday with look like he might be, you know, a little bit of an injury there. Don't know if it was a head thing, a concussion.
Anytime fingers come out.
Yeah, they were looking into that. So it'll be interesting to see and we'll get Colleen on the line on Thursday and talk about injury report again and what the vibe down in Dallas is, but at the end of the day, if Beasley's going to be out, the Switzer kid's going to have to come in and fill that role. And I'm wondering if he's not more a part of the offense if that doesn't help out his return game, because it's almost like being
good
It's almost like being a designated hitter or a pinch hitter,
and
you know.
And you're saying he's not used to that.
He's not used to it. He's probably the best player on his team from the time he was 5 years old in Pop Warner football up through college. He went to North Carolina, so I mean they're no juggernaut over there. So if he's the best guy for, 13, 14,
or more,
16 years of his life, right? And now he gets here and he becomes a role player. Right. Is he struggling with that transition?
Yeah, and maybe trying to do too much sometimes, or may not even know what the hell he's doing back there, but he's trying to get something going, and that's a very
that's a great point. I mean, because you think about it, he's been the standout, and now he's. I got to show what I – my opportunities are limited, so when I get one, he's probably overthinking it.
Right.
I don't want to mess up. I got to do this. I got to do this instead of just playing football.
Right.
You know? And, Steve-O, you're a big baseball fan. You talk about when players come up and they grind that
it's
bat.
It's all about opportunity.
Well, they talked about it last night, the Astros guys, is they got together when they were down 4-0. Yep. They're facing Kershaw, and they go, hey, you know what? It's 4-0. We got nothing to lose. We might as well just go out there and play loose.
Yep.
Have fun, and then all of a sudden it's 4-4.
And it's crazy, and a lot of fans listening at home probably saying, well, they're professional athletes. They should know. They're human beings. They're human beings. And now they've got the pressure of the world on them. They're making these big salaries, these big contracts. Sure, you're going to start tensing up. You're going to – NFL, not for long, and it's probably what's going through his head here. What do I do here? I've done this my whole life. I've always been a standout, and now I'm just a special teams player.
Well, that's what we hired you in for, son. Well, so get used to it. But you know what? As Steve said, now with – I don't want that scenario, though. I hope Beasley's back.
Oh, and well, he's been a non-factor for the last couple of games, too. I mean, he had a real good game against Packers.
Again, there's that fear of Beasley because you know that Beasley can catch that ball and turn something. He is that New England Patriot type of player.
Absolutely.
Well, and this kind of goes back to what Rich was saying with his Dez holding up two fingers. Is that going to cause an issue? I can tell
you
this much.
What do you guys think about that, though?
I can tell you this much. You have Dez, T. Will, Bryce Butler, Switzer, Beasley, Witten, Dez, Dak, Alfred Morris. You got, you got a lot of big-time players, playmakers on your offensive team. So, all of a sudden, there might not be enough balls going around if you're only going to be 15 for 22 and throw for 100 and some odd yards, right? 168 yards.
Yeah.
So if you're going to run the ball 39 times and you're paying these guys on the outside all the money that you're paying them and you have all those weapons, yeah, it's going to get frustrating, especially if you go into a place and you lose. Let me tell you, winning cures everything.
Yes, it does.
If you're going to win the game 33-19,
especially that
you know what?
Night home.
Dez is probably going to go there, and he's probably going to be a good team guy, okay? And then when he gets home, complain to the wife, man, I need more balls, blah, 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 blah. I need more, they need to target me more. But let me tell you what.
You lose.
You let Kansas City come in here, and you get behind – and you only target him twice, there's going to be an issue because that is you're not spreading the ball out enough, and you got to get all these weapons in here, which now feeds into is that your problem
you
in
point.
The red zone?
You got a good point, but I think for yesterday we could put a little bit of a I don't mind yesterday because of
the weather,
Hurricane Andrew that came through, and they're playing through that. And so you know what? I overlooked that. Maybe we had to keep it on the ground. You've seen the referee. I mean, he had a towel trying to dry this ball off. Every second it was getting worse to handle.
It looked like he kept trying to throw yellow towels at the ball to dry it off.
Yeah, well, we've seen plenty
of
them
flying
too.
Around.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I definitely see what you guys are saying. I think our offensive line, if it's going to open the holes like it did last night or yesterday, I say just keep grinding it out. It only gives the guys up front the motivation, and it gives them a little bit more oomph for the future games coming up, too. I thought they had a nice chemistry going. And you know what? Dak walked up to Dez last night. on the sideline, and you heard Dak just say, la, 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 la. I mean, he was like, I'm getting in your face back at you. You're letting me know. Now I'm letting you know. This is a team game. I'm trying my best. If you're open, I'll see you. They got pressure coming at me. Don't start that with me. And well, you know what? It does just kind of like, I got it. Thank you.
If you noticed, there were several times when Dez was at the top of the screen by himself, and Dak, I don't know, two or three different plays I remember, never even looked his direction. So I don't know if Dak's trying to send him a message. Look, you get in my face, you're never getting the dang ball. I hope that's not the case.
I really don't think so. Well, I really think that it's such a quick play.
Well,
that he's got love his key to receivers. Get Dez going.
Yeah,
into
he would.
It. Yeah,
I don't know if he's proven a point. You never know. All I know is in today's day and age with media, Dez Bryant's got the note commercials and all this and that, and he's going up against a primetime cornerback. If he only gets thrown at two times, then that cornerback's saying that was a victory for me because you were never open. And I think Dez takes that personally, as any, you know.
He's a big-time player, Antonio Brown and these type of guys. They want the ball. He's definitely the type of person that's earned it.
Sure.
Earned that respect to talk like that. I think that if I'm that status, I'm going to get sure. in the quarterback and say, hey, you know what? I'm open. I'm open.
My point is, think back when we had Emmett and Aikman and Irvin. Irvin wanted the ball just as bad.
Right.
But
I heard Irvin bitch on the sideline just as much.
But, the social media era wasn't there then, so we didn't hear as much of what's going on. But it worked. So right now it's working, giving the ball to Zeke.
Well, who runs that commercial with Josh Norman and Dez Bryant going back? Is it T-Mobile or Verizon or somebody?
What's that note, the Galaxy Note thing?
Galaxy Note. I'm sure that you know what it was? Conspiracy theorists out there. I'm sure that they did not pay Jerry enough to get that game plan. You know, if you want to, you got to pay the piper a little bit, because that would have done wonders for their promotion had that been featured more, that the Josh Norman Dez Bryant matchup.
That's still nowhere near a bust of a commercial as that New York Jet kid that
gets a Giant jersey.
I still don't understand it.
You got this little moron wants a Giant jersey. They're 1-7. Or 1-6 or something like that, and he wants to give up on his Jets team. His whole family is a Jets team, and this kid revolts against his family to get a Odell Beckham jersey. Are you kidding me? No Jet, no fan would do that.
But he didn't wear it. Why?
Yeah.
Why? When is there a commercial 2 coming out? Part 2 of that?
Yeah, please. I want to see this part 2, how you guys could screw this one up, because the Jets are playing damn good football. They're competitive. They'll beat the shit out of the Giants. Uh-oh. They'll beat the shit out of the Giants.
Mark that time. 52-minute mark. Oh, my gosh.
How you follow up with that is he gets a Cowboy jersey and he actually wears it.
Yeah, I can understand a Cowboy jersey because, you know, the Cowboys are having a good season. But to have this kid idolize a team that – Beckham's not even playing, for one. Two, the Giants are 1-6 or one.
Jono, the commercial was cut filmed 4 months ago,
I would pull it is what I'm saying. Don't keep shoving it in our face. You look like a complete stooge. Don't you, though? I mean, if you're NFL, it's like, let's pull this commercial out. It doesn't make any
NFL
sense at all.
Who knows? I think it was Amazon that paid for it.
No, I think it was NFL.
It's NFL.com.
Yeah, it's Amazon. NFL gear.
Yeah, but I thought it was – wasn't it shipping through Amazon, 2-day shipping or something?
I thought it was NFL, though. NFL should say, you know what, pull the plug on this stupid-ass commercial we've made.
Well, it could be that they're fearful the Giants are having such a terrible year. The jerseys aren't selling, so they got to do something.
Well, I mean, you could find them at Marshall's, Odell Beckham shirts, for like $10-$15. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, you see all the crazy jerseys there that no one's part of any team anymore.
There you go.
Anyway, folks, quick reminder
here. Hold on, we're
not done yet. No, we're not done. I want to give a little plug out for the show, okay? Maybe I'll get that 2-3 listeners that you're...
We're going to try to double, get the 4 listeners.
Right. Well, I lost 3. Sorry about my lion and gazelle story.
Yeah, that really threw everyone off.
I think the intelligent fans will get it.
All right. Hang on now. Subscribe to iTunes, my friends, or Google Play, subscribe to Stitcher, subscribe to our podcast at Podbeam as well. I mean, we've got a lot of options here, or you could just go to our site at cowboyspodcast.com and check out past episodes here where we talk about every game. And you know what? I got to say, before the season, not much to talk about, but now we're in full swing here, and we'd love to hear from you guys on what's going on with the Cowboys. Any feedback from you guys is great, too, so we appreciate it. And, hey, Rich, we were saying, talking about the offensive line, doing their job. Did you see anything in the offense besides what we just talked about that stood out as well?
Well, I'll tell you, I know Jason Witten got the holding call, which we keep talking about, but I really
I only brought it up once, Rich.
Okay.
I only brought it up once. It's
we didn't
not
talk
like
about
I,
anything else he did.
Yeah, but I'm not going to rip on Witten, though. I mean, that's kind of like the untouchable. You have the untouchables.
Ooh, nice, nice.
Yeah, and he's one of the untouchables. Yeah, him and Dez and these guys walk as the untouchables.
Okay. Well, we now know they're the untouchables, which is good. No, I was really happy with his blocking yesterday, and just for whatever reason, he seemed to always be there when Zeke was set. I mean, obviously, the whole offensive line is working together. But when they're pulling guards or they're going to the one side, boy, that hole was huge, freaking right. huge, and it was always Jason Witten there.
What do you grade our offense then?
Other than not
everything combined,
other than not getting the end zone and the red zone, I think we had a strong game. B plus
from him. Steve-O?
I would have liked to have been a little more well rounded with throwing the ball, but B+.
I know, but you're one of those judge.
This is the overall game. Is that what
on our offense?
Offensive
side now.
Have we done special teams yet?
Do we really need to?
Well, I just want to give a plug out there to Ted Nugent.
I do too.
He did awesome.
Yeah.
Put his bow away and got his leg out. I was proud.
You're right, man.
Ted Nugent came out. We had a block field goal attempt. So, I mean, offense or special teams wise, we got to go A there, right?
A, I give him an A. Nugent did a great job.
Hurricane Harvey was coming through Washington.
Andrew,
sorry.
We're close.
And yeah.
Kicked
so,
it.
Yeah.
Hurricane Ted.
Hurricane Ted, whatever. Yeah. I thought we did a great job.
So, offensively, whenever your game is rushing the ball and you have as many rushing yards as the Cowboys did, which they're approaching that 170 mark or somewhere in that area, right? You pulled the stats on me.
Mm. I think it was 169.
169. Whenever you have that and you're able to have a couple of rushing touchdowns and win the game, yep. control the ball, offensively, even though I agree with Rich, I want to see something a little bit more rounded, it has to be an A for their game, for sure, for the offense.
Yeah. I agree. The only problem I have with the A is the penalties, and if we were in a tight game, which we were, I think those come back to haunt you. We got lucky this week. I mean, those are a lot of holding penalties that we gave up to. I'm going to say B+. B+ for our offense, and a great job by our new kicker that just filling in till our kicker comes back. I mean, God bless. The guy was solid.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he was a little nervous on that first one. We go, oh, shit, here we go. Now we don't have a kicker.
Well, then he would be probably more nervous on the second one because, like, oh, my God. But he pulled it together.
Yeah.
That's off to him. And like Steve-O said, we had a blocked field goal and subsequent turn for, 85 yards?
So I give that an A as well. All right, my friends, stay tuned. We got a big show coming up. Thursday, we will be talking about who we're playing next.
The Chiefs.
And one great thing about that, I don't think the Chiefs travel. I think the Cowboys will be in full force. This is not going to be a Green Bay coming into Dallas with their crazy fans. I think the Chiefs are going to be outrun here, and there will be no Chiefs but squaws end of the day.
Ooh. Okay, let's talk about a couple of things before we go to our break here. If I had an opportunity, one of my bucket list things is to get to a Thanksgiving Day game, right?
Sure, absolutely.
There's no way I could pull that off.
Okay, so I figure that much. Yeah. So I need, but you know me, man. I like to go on the low. I got to have people that know people that get me free tickets, right?
Why is it going to be free? You want a little Welch or something? Can't you come up with something?
Anybody
here?
Can buy tickets, okay? But can you get free tickets?
For a Cowboy game? For a Cowboy game. Hot, man.
They are super hot.
For Thanksgiving Day, nonetheless. All right.
I think that's a little bit easier, Rich. Thanksgiving Day is a little bit easier than, like, the Packers game. Yeah.
Oh, if you pull this one off, this might be...
So I have a friend that happens to have...
Have a friend who has to...
Family in Dallas that they are going to
stay
see...
At their house.
No, listen to this. They're going to see them for Thanksgiving, so they're going to leave on Wednesday. So I might hitch a ride if I can get free tickets, me and my son, right? And then we'll just fly back on Friday. So
what the hell is this going to do with the family?
Hold on, that's
leaving.
Number one. Number two is maybe I scrap that plan and do we try to drive to Atlanta in a couple of weeks and do the new stadium down there and see the Cowboys on the road? This is open for discussion, boys.
Wow.
This is a podcast open for discussion right now as Rich gets out his calendar.
You're darn right.
So, Jono, here's what I'm going to do. Talking about the Lolo, I'm going to take my car in for an oil change at the dealership, have them give me a loaner on a Friday so I don't have to have it back till Monday. So now I'm on their dime with their miles, right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
But I still need... I need tickets. Anybody know anybody at Coke down there and might be able to get us tickets for the Atlanta game?
But you know what? You're mentioning free. I think it's time for our next jersey. Let's and see. The guy that did great out there, I thought he was damn good. It was Jalen Smith, and I got a Jalen Smith signed jersey that we will be giving away. And why don't you guys comment? Why don't you guys do something? We'll have it out there. But a Jalen Smith jersey would be good to give away.
And
that's our next.
You know what's great about you?
Promo.
This first and foremost, it's out of the. I think you have bought at least half of the stuff that we've given away personally out of your pocket. I know our general manager kicks in some, but we got another show around here I happen to be on, and that guy gives away jerseys, and he didn't send them to anybody. He's given away two jerseys, and he's never sent them. And it's been like, it's been over a month. I go, buddy, you've got to mail that jersey. Right. And he kind of looks at me like he's disgusted. I think there's something going on where it was like a family member of his. Yours are all on the up and up.
That's I just have a hard time when I got to send it to Mexico and they can't get it or anything. And that really irritates me because we have such loyal listeners
absolutely
down in Mexico, too, that it's hard to get them that jersey. So in any case, though, we have a Jalen Smith jersey signed with a certificate and everything, a blue jersey, and you guys will enjoy it. We'll find a way of giving that out within, not this week, but the following week.
That sounds good. Have you decided Atlanta or Thanksgiving Day Dallas game?
I'm not sure yet.
I looked at Atlanta. That looks pretty good. Drive down. It's a 3:25 game on Sunday.
Dudes, you know I would, but my problem is my wife and the kid. I mean, they're so occupied, and now the oldest one's getting ready to go to college.
Saturday afternoon, we leave. We eat a burger down at the Varsity down there.
Right. What if my kid says, I'm visiting Michigan State, and we got to go up there and visit?
How about if you visit Georgia Tech?
Who? Steven's got it today.
Bud, yeah. I gotcha.
Oh, man. Yeah,
Georgia Tech right there.
Loaded up.
Why would you want to go north? Well, you don't want to go north.
Oh, that's what she wants.
You don't want to go north.
All right. In any case, that's our show for today, folks.
To be continued.
Check out our big show here again. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on our own site at CowboysPodcast.com and Cowboys Podcast on Facebook, and leave some messages. Leave whatever. But, hey, how about a good review on iTunes, too? That would be great as well. So thank you, and we'll catch you guys Thursday for a big game against Kansas City. Steve-O, Rich, it's been fun. Let's do it again. Cowboy fans. Fans, we are out of here.
Go boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.